Welcome to Double Fries No Slaw Wednesday night preview episode. Been a while since we did this, Richie, and this is probably the preview episode that I'd say we were looking forward to the least that we've done in the last 4 years, but here we are regardless. Richie made me do this, so Double Fries No Slaw brought to you by Guthrie's in Tallahassee, 1818 West Tennessee, 2550 North Monroe, and then I think it's 2870 East or Appalachia Parkway. If I'm wrong on that, just it's close to it. So just try and find it on Appalachia there. It's the drive-thru only. I'm not looking it up. I got to eventually learn this address at some point. So, hey, we're joined by Brooks Austin, the film guy. Also, if I get this correct, lead editor for Dogs Daily, part of the SI site. Brooks, how's it going, man?
I'm doing well. How are you, gentlemen? Good to be back. Wait, have I been on here or did you come on my show? How's that word? I've been on here, right?
I think you were on with Allie. I don't think you've been on with us.
Okay.
We haven't had any Florida State.
Well, good to be on here.
Yeah, I know. Thank you for joining us, man. Richie, how was your – wait, we talked after – no, how was your Christmas, Richie?
It was good, man. You know, like I told you, went into work at 6:30 in the morning and brought some treats to the staff, and, you know, they were really appreciative. Then came home and just, you know, drank a bunch of wine, and it was a great Christmas. And, you know, looking forward to, I don't know if I should say I'm looking forward to Saturday, but, you know, I love Florida State, obviously. I'm not going to miss a game. And, you know, obviously this preview is going to be a little different. We're not going to do a huge in-depth breakdown, but, you know, 4 years of Mike Norvell, we've never missed a preview show. So why start now?
Well, yeah, I think we had reason to start now, but you made me do this. So, all right, let's jump right into it. Brooks, again, I appreciate your time. We won't be super, super long tonight, but, man, this is all Florida State fans have wanted to talk about for the last 3.5 weeks. What are your thoughts, you know, and how closely do they mirror, like, what UGA's fans' thoughts are about just the playoff in general, you know, who should have been in, who shouldn't have been in? You know, does Georgia think Florida State should have been in? Does Georgia think they should have been in? You know, what are your thoughts? What are Georgia fans' thoughts just about the way that the playoff selection went down?
You know, I think Georgia fans, if you're doing the are they one of the best four teams in the country, I think everybody, including Georgia fans, would agree that they are one of the best four teams in college football this year. But that's never really what it's ever been. It's never been best four. It's always been, you know, which four can we justify? And with that in mind, I think Georgia fans understood that they lost their playoff game in the SEC championship game. And that's just kind of how it works. And that's kind of how it goes. They lost by 3 points and that sucks. And that's kind of how you swallow the pill there. I thought from a Florida State standpoint, I don't even know how I would have responded with that one, to be honest with you, because it wasn't even best four. They didn't take best four because best four is unquantifiable. You can't sit there and define four best teams this year, right? I think there were five or six teams that you could have quantified as quote-unquote best. You could have argued that five or six teams were the best. Most of the time with the college football playoff, we get to the four most justifiable. And in my opinion, Florida State was very, very justifiable for the fourth overall selection in the college football playoff committee. So that was really weird to me to see. I know this is a Florida State, you know, channel. I almost applauded the committee for doing something that they couldn't stand 10 toes on and say, well, this is why. They just had to stand in front of people and say, well, this is just how we feel. And that's very weird for a public-facing committee to ever do. They've never, ever done that. But then again, they've never, ever been put in this situation, TJ. I think it's not a justifiable answer to tell an entire fan base that it's just unfortunate. But there were five teams that deserved, maybe even six teams that deserved to be in the college football playoff, and only four get to go. Somebody's getting screwed every single time in this system. That's why we're going to 12.
Yeah, I want to follow up on that real quick because as a Florida State fan, and obviously, you know, TJ and I, to me, it almost felt like a slap in the face to say we're ranking the best teams. And then you put Florida State with the caveat of no Jordan Travis ahead of Georgia. Like, nobody in the country thinks Florida State's better than Georgia without Jordan Travis. And most people probably think Georgia's better, even if we had Jordan Travis. Did you kind of find that a little funny? Because I'm like, man, just rank us 11th or something if you're truly going to die on this hill instead of putting us ahead of Georgia at number five.
Yeah, no consistency, right? That's something you search for in these types of decisions and these types of ranking systems is I just want you to stand on your – I know the new term nowadays is stand on business. I just want you to continually, you know, stand on the same principles every single time you come to face. It's why when we saw them rank Ohio State number one, and everybody in the college football landscape and the initial rankings was like, that's bullshit. They're not the best team in college football. No one thinks that. And everybody was like, well, oh, it's just the first round of the rankings. Don't worry about it. The hell you mean don't worry about it? We're all sitting here week one questioning a decision that nobody believes in, and we got to believe, we got to trust that they're going to make the right decision 5 weeks from now. They ultimately, you know, were faced in a position where they weren't going to be right. Someone was going to be pissed off. It was either, I think it boiled down to whether or not you leave out an SEC champion because of the head-to-head with Texas. And I think with the history of the SEC, as shitty as this sounds, they were going to take that. No, they're not going to leave out an SEC champion, particularly Alabama. So, again, it sucks. There was only four teams. Someone was going to get screwed. And I think Florida State and Georgia could make arguments for, hey, we should have been in there. We had an opportunity to go win a national title.
Let me ask you this, because part of it, I've been thinking about this. But it's been a long month for Florida State fans. We've not had a lot of good news. But I really think, you know, looking back at how everything played out, the SEC champion was not going to be left out regardless. Like, I think that's a fact. You could not put Alabama in without putting Texas in. Do you think, because I do, if Georgia had won in Atlanta, Florida State would have got in, and it would have been Florida State-Georgia, same matchup, just in New Orleans?
Yeah, it would have been Georgia, Florida State at 1-4, Washington at 2, and then Michigan at 2 and Washington at 3. That's probably what it would have ended up being. And they would have made it easy for the committee. I think two things would have made it easy for the committee: Georgia to win or Florida State to lose. And neither of those things happened. And it caused chaos.
Florida State lost.
That's what it did.
I think they
were banking on Louisville beating them. And here's the thing I want to ask you guys. I know I'm the guest here, but I want to spin the tables. You would have got your lights boxed out anyways, right? Like, even if no one opted out, let's say the team was 100% like it was just without Jordan Travis, is Tate Rodemaker, assuming maybe he enters the portal anyways. I don't know. The college calendar's messed up, but you would assume he sticks around and plays for a national title. If it was Michigan, Florida State, if it was, I think that turns into a rock fight anyways, but if it was Georgia, Florida State, or if it was Alabama, Florida State in the first round of college football playoff, what would have happened, guys?
Yeah, I don't think Florida State would have liked to take on an SEC opponent in that situation. You know, is it possible that Alabama plays down kind of like they did against Auburn? Maybe you kind of keep it close. If it was the rankings right now, like you said, Florida State, Michigan, I think that would have actually worked out really well. That could have been like the way Florida State's defense played late in the year, the way that Michigan's offense, you know, that maybe you'd have had a chance in. Yeah. But then I really wouldn't have loved Florida State's chances in the next round against either Washington or Texas. Now, could things happen? Yeah, absolutely. You know, maybe Tate with three games is a little bit more experienced. But yeah, playing either SEC school, like playing Georgia in the first round without Jordan, I mean, yeah, if we're being honest here, I wouldn't have loved our shot.
Or even like Washington. Washington would have been a tough matchup with how much they could score. So
yeah, I mean, Oregon. Oregon's defense held them down pretty good. You know, what did Oregon hold them to in the Pac-12 championship? Like 24? Like, so if you could have held them to around there, 17, 21, 24. Yeah. You would just need the defensive performance of a lifetime, right? Like, that's what you would be banking on.
So I think that the way this defense played after Jordan went down, only one touchdown in 11 quarters, and that one touchdown was off one of the most ridiculous roughing the passer penalties I've ever seen against Florida on a third down. I think the defense would have kept Florida State in any game. Now, would they have lost to the playoff teams? Most likely. I do think so, because this offense without Jordan just took a huge step back against Louisville. You know, Brock Glenn, he had Keon Coleman, he had Jaheim Bell, he had Johnny Wilson, and we couldn't do anything outside of, you know, Lawrence Till Philly in the Wildcat. And now he's got to take on Georgia without any of those guys. But I do think that they could have made it a fourth quarter game against anybody the way the defense was playing. But the offense without Jordan Travis, you know, it wasn't going to be enough to probably even win one game. But I think it could have been close. But I still think they should have got the opportunity. I think they earned it. You know, on the field matters. You know, I'm going to the Bucs-Saints game on Sunday. And if Tampa Bay wins, they are in the playoff and hosting a wild card game. But in what world could you imagine, you know, the Bucs win, but Baker Mayfield goes down in the fourth quarter with a season-ending injury, and Roger Goodell says, actually, guys, we're going to send the Saints instead because you don't have Baker Mayfield now, so we don't think you belong there.
Bro, we got Kyle Trask, though, so, I mean, it really isn't, you know, yeah. like, we should. It is funny watching the, you know, I don't, Brooks, I don't know how much you, like, get into all of this and see it. It is cool for us to watch Gator fans have to, like, put on that clown mask of, like, absolutely cheering their hearts out for you guys because they're so mad at us right now.
Because so, they like, know what's coming, too.
So bro, it's easy. Like, yeah, so, like, the Gator fans that are having to, you know, put on the black and – I've seen some of them even with the dog pound, you know, shoulder pads on and stuff this week. It's been pretty. Nah, that might be
that's a weird bit energy.
I had a little bit of bark at me at Publix today. It was crazy.
Yeah, you're full of crap. All right, so about the game, let's ask this: what's the motivation? Okay, outside of the FSU stuff, I might ask this question twice. Yeah. What's the motivation for Georgia here? You know, because it's got to be tough. And you know, I'll ask you like for as an SEC guy even. The narrative around bowl games is always if the SEC team plays well, they were motivated. If the SEC team doesn't play well, they just didn't care to be there. Right? Like Saban started that like back in 2014, like 2013. I get it when they lost to Oklahoma. But like, is there motivation? Like, how much does Georgia care about this game?
Shockingly, a ton, it seems. Based off the, like, I judge these things based off the opt-outs, right? How many draft-eligible guys are choosing not to play in this quote-unquote meaningless bowl game and to go ahead and start the draft prep a month early? Well, Georgia's got a guy like, take Kamari Laster, for example. Why is Kamari Laster playing in this football game? Why? That makes no sense. Take Xavier Trust, for example. Xavier Trust is a football player that has 36 career starts in the SEC. Why is he playing in this football game, right? There are like Tyke Smith, for example, Marcus Simi Jack Saint. I mean, the list goes on and on. These aren't first-round draft picks, but these are guys who are in the process or starting the process. Kendall Milton, Dejon Edwards. These are guys who are in the process of starting their NFL draft process, you would imagine, and they're going to play another, quote-unquote, meaningless football game. So I think it means a lot to them in terms of just living on what they've always talked about that they are. They're a football program that's built on the standard. And, like, I get so sick and tired of hearing it almost. It gets, like, inundated over and over again. We put it to the standard. And all this, like, it almost sounds like coach speak until it isn't. Which, when it isn't, is stuff like this, which is you don't have 12 opt-outs. You don't have 9 opt-outs. You have – what looks to be on the horizon two, and those aren't even official yet. And those two opt-outs, Amarius Mims and Brock Bowers, which are rumored, right? They're just not here yet because they're back in Athens rehabbing. I think both of those guys probably would dress, maybe even play if they were 100% healthy. Ladd McConkey, another guy. Why is that guy playing? That guy's got 35 SEC games for his belt. He's got plenty of an NFL evaluation. Why is he playing? Well, I had a segment last night, and we're going to talk about it on our show, TJ, because I want your thoughts on the flip end. But, like, all the culture, all the coach speak stuff, all the bull crap, if you will, like some people think it is, and that stuff shows up in moments like this. And I think it showed up last year for a program like Alabama. Why was Will Anderson and Bryce Young playing in a bowl game? Because they cared. They cared to do it. And I know it was a tough route for you guys on the other end. I know it was we should be playing for a national title, and now we're playing for a quote-unquote meaningless football game. But the other team that won 30 games in a row and got held out from fighting for a three-peat by 3 points, okay, in a conference title game, they're showing up like they give a shit. So it's just weird. It's weird to see the dichotomy, just like the differences in how these two programs are approaching this.
Yeah, I mean, it is wild to me that Georgia doesn't have as many opt-outs. Because, like I said, I don't know that they feel like they got as screwed as Florida State fans do, but I still feel like if you're going by that letter of the law, then, you know, Georgia kind of got screwed, too, out of a playoff spot. Yeah, I don't know. I don't have a great answer for you. I do know that we talked a little bit. I mean, we mentioned it just briefly and brought it up off air. I do think the Bama one last year feels a little bit different, right, where their season was – kind of over in November, and so like they kind of played their way into a big bowl and kind of felt like that was a reward, as opposed to, you know, if Bama would have, you know, maybe lost their second game in the SEC championship against you guys instead of LSU losing that game, does it change the way that those kids look at it? I don't know. It's hard to speculate that on it completely, But to me, that, you know, felt a little bit different with Bama doing it. I don't think it's super uncommon. I mean, I saw that Jaden Daniels is jumping out, and obviously he's got a much higher draft grade than most people that Florida State has opting out. But, you know, Richie, do you have, you know, I certainly don't have any issue with kids opting out. You know, I think that's kind of the sign of the times that we're in right now. But I mean, I do think I think the other part of it is, and this, you know, maybe this sounds terrible to say, and it's probably the first time I'm saying it out loud, but I think in a game that you know, not that this makes it right or wrong, but you know, like when you know that Jordan's not out there, like if Jordan Travis was playing in this game, I think you'd see significantly less opt-outs. I think Keon Coleman would still opt out. I think Jared Verse would still opt out. I think most other people would play. I don't think it helps anyone that's going to the NFL draft to play in a game that Jordan Travis isn't playing in, right? Like, you're not improving anything on film. You are risking injury. You're going up against a team that is significantly better than you anyway, and then even more so without Jordan out there. But if you're a wide receiver, I don't know why you would play with a third-string quarterback out there throwing the ball around against Georgia anyway, right? And so, I don't know. I think that probably has a little bit more to do with it than anything.
That's fair.
Richie, I don't know if you have thoughts on that or not. But again, if Jordan was playing, everybody else would be playing except for maybe Jared Verse and Keon Coleman. And yeah. I will say this too, one more thing, Richie. There are a lot of guys on Florida State's roster that are banged up right now. Like Trey Benson played the last four games hurt. Johnny Wilson had multiple concussions throughout the season. Jared Verse can't risk the first round grade. Fabian Lovett was playing with a hurt back the entire year. Braden Fisk was in a sling for half the year and a boot the other half of the year. And so a lot of these guys are not necessarily first round grades, but they literally were playing through a ton of shit down the stretch. And they are pretty banged up and pretty hurt. And that's, I think that has, you know, so it's all of those things kind of at the same time. All right, Richie, I'll shut up and let you talk.
Yeah. So you completely stole my point, but Keon Coleman missed a game, right? Keon Coleman missed a game. But, I think a lot of these guys you mentioned, Jaheim Bell, Johnny Wilson, you know, Fabian Lovett, all these guys, they played in games that if they say they lose to LSU and Clemson in September, they played in games they would not have been playing in at that point. Because they thought in their mind that they still had a chance. If they win all these games, they go to the college football playoff. So they were putting their bodies on the line. And to have the committee, a bunch of, you know, old white dudes sitting in a room saying, oh, y'all don't matter, that pissed them off, and rightfully so. You know, I'm still mad about the snub, Brooks, if you can't tell. And I think when it comes to Georgia, you know, I think they were snubbed too, quite frankly, because I do think they're one of the best four teams in the country. But they did lose that game to Alabama. Side note, my wife's a big Alabama fan, and now I got to watch the freaking Rose Bowl with her. That's going to be a blast. But no, they were told your 13 games you played this year did not matter. You know, we're going to ignore what happened in Tuscaloosa when Texas came in and just, you know, beat Alabama solid, because we think they're the better team anyway. And they probably are. But that's never been the case before. Otherwise, Cincinnati never gets into the playoffs. If truly the best four teams every year, it's always been the four most deserving teams. And this is the first year it wasn't the case. It's the only time in the history of the playoff. Brooks, I don't know if you know this. There's only been two instances of the college football playoff rankings where an undefeated Power 5 team was ranked behind one-loss teams. And that was Florida State in 2014 and Florida State in 2023. And, you know, the ACC probably plays a role in that, which is why we're suing to try and get out of this godforsaken conference. But it's just good frustrating. Yeah, I think our chances are, if we get a home game here in Tallahassee, I like it.
You educate me on that one. I know this is a sidebar, but we're damn sure not going to talk predictions and score stuff in this ball game.
Oh, we're going to hold you to a score.
38-3. How in the hell are you actually going to get out of that contract? Because I see it's going to require like Saudi Arabia money. So how are you getting out of the TV contract? That's the problem, right? You could tell the ACC to F off. It's getting out of the ESPN deal, correct? That's the issue?
So the ACC owns the grant of rights. So we're going after the ACC. And TJ had a lawyer on it and did a video, and he can talk to you a little bit. But the, you know, Cliff Notes version that I understand is basically the ACC, the fee to get out which is like $500 million, is a lot of it based on liquid damages to pay the ACC for money they would have lost otherwise. In the state of Florida, the great state of Florida, you cannot have liquidated damages that are so outrageous that they would be considered a penalty, which is our kind of argument here, which in North Carolina, it's different law. So if the penalty is so ridiculous that it's like you're not losing this much money based on just them alone, especially I think it was strategic Florida State voting no on Cal, Stanford, and Southern Methodist, yeah, because now they can say you diluted the value of the conference. The fee is outrageous compared to what we actually bring. Therefore, the Florida State law says that the entire thing is null and void. There's no settlement, so to speak. It's just, okay, this is clearly a penalty as opposed to liquidated damages. Therefore, the whole thing is null and void. And it helps that the case was assigned to a Florida State law alum in Tallahassee. TJ, well, you want to touch on that a little more? I hope you,
Went out. And the Big Ten going to be cold as shit, so make sure you get a big winter coat.
I was at Notre Dame in 2018. It was not fun. 26 degrees.
Dude, I wish they'd play that Notre Dame game coming up this year in September, because I'm definitely going to go, and I hate the fact that it's late in the year. But, yeah, Florida State's basically suing on, like, six different things. Some things are stronger than others. Yeah. That's one that Richie mentioned. Yeah. Like, essentially, you're not allowed to have a penalty. It's essentially the same thing as a non-compete clause, which is not enforceable in the state of Florida. It's you know, a company's non-compete clause is kind of how they're suing against it. The other ones are – yeah, you know, I think the ACC has been a bad partner, hasn't, you know, leveraged TV deals as well as the SEC has. They, you know, there's some other things they're suing on as well. There was an extension to the contract that they are saying the ACC unilaterally decided, and they didn't take a vote, which is grounds for it to be removed. The ACC is saying, like, oh, we didn't need a vote. FSU is saying, according to your bylaws, you do. So they sued on, like, six different things, and they're hoping to, if they win on one of them, then they get out of it. I've actually been told that they are going, I mean, one way or the other, they are going to pay it. So we'll see. You know, it's a lot of money. Hmm. They're certainly going to have
JP Morgan, baby. Let's go.
They're going to have to go the private equity route, but they still think it's, you know, likely worth it in the long term. So we'll see. It's a lot of money.
That's a big gamble. It's a big gamble.
It is.
It's a massive gamble.
But, you know, sometimes you have to. I do think this, yeah, you know, I've done all the numbers and stuff. If you, you know, essentially your like price to get out is going to be roughly what you would make in the SEC or Big Ten. Like it essentially just washes out. And so is, you know, and actually as you get later in the contract, it becomes a little more profitable. But if you just washed out, right? Like if you're caught, cause you don't owe all that money up front, it's your media rights for every single year. So you would owe it as each year went along. If you just washed out and went dollar for dollar, like even, then you're in no different of a spot. You're just
in your SMU.
Well, you're still having that revenue. You're still having that revenue gap, but your brand is perceived better. You're playing better home games. You're making more money on season tickets. You're selling more merchandise in a bit. You are making money outside of that. And so I think it would still behoove Florida State to do it because you're not necessarily losing a ton of money. You're basically just washing out where you're at right now. The added money of the Big Ten would have to pay off your debt, but then you're not getting left out as an undefeated. You're not, you know, you're not, you know, you people laugh about that. Obviously you wouldn't get left out as an undefeated next year, but what about this?
Especially lose three games.
Well, And what about this? What if you, ACC team. If you're an ACC team versus a Big Ten team, that could be the difference in a home playoff game. And how much revenue do you generate from that? Mm. Right. And so I think there's a lot of angles for it that you kind of need to continue to look at, and that's why Florida State said, hey, we'll take the risk on this. You know, I have been told a couple, and we'll say this and then kind of move back to the game, but I've been told that they don't think that they're just taking a shot here. A lot of people think that they will just end up settling. Both sides kind of understand, like, hey, we can't risk like going all for nothing. Like the ACC cannot let us get out for zero, because then everybody else will just get out for zero and it will truly crumble. And Florida State certainly doesn't want to pay the full $500 million either. And so a lot of people think we'll settle. So I don't know. We'll see. Brooks, has there been any throwing it back to the game a little bit, and then we'll wrap up here in a minute. But has there been any talk from the Georgia side about all the Florida State opt-outs, about who will or won't be there? I know Kirby's so good at getting guys to lock in and focus on themselves and not what everyone else is doing. Somehow Kirby convinced all of UGA that they were – everybody doubted him last year, and they were, like, truly the underdogs and stuff. Which, so he's a mastermind of doing that. But even if it's not from, like, the team or you know, folks that you're chatting with or what, just what is the vibe around Georgia for all of the opt-outs?
So I asked this question a lot today, TJ, actually, at media availability. How do you study and prepare for a nameless and faceless opponent? Because that's what Florida State is. Like, Florida State is about to come out here and, like, I mean, you guys know this. I saw a picture of their depth chart today with just line after line after line after line after line through it. Just it's like half the list of just dudes that were playing on film and dudes that you would be studying and guys that you'd be preparing to face. You ain't got nothing. You got nothing with regards to preparation for anybody else. So most of the responses that I got were, you prepare for schematics because coordinators aren't going to change, essentially. Like, they are who they are. You would imagine they're not going to come out and revamp everything that they do. So you study the core principles, the core traits, the core tendencies of the coordinator. So if I were the coordinator, and coordinators that I played for and worked around with and worked with before would do it this way. You break them down by tendencies. So they are this on third and long. They are this on third and short. They are this on first down. They like to do this on P&10. They play in this formation. They're this personnel. They take shots in this portion of the field. They attack to this portion of the offensive line, yada, yada, yada. We break them down data and statistically as much as we can, find as many tendencies as we possibly can, identify who they are, their core principles, and their core traits. And then we try to prepare for that because you can't prepare for the players. Normally, you would do all of that, and that's only half the evaluation, and you would identify the same types of the question marks about the individual players. Now you have that. So that's kind of the long and short and simple answer to how to prepare for somebody you don't know who it is. It's harder to do it the other way in terms of, shit, they got two new coordinators. We don't know what they're going to be from a schematical standpoint. If I know where you're at and where you're going to be, what you're going to do or who you are, I have a better opportunity to prepare for you than to just, you know, face a new body. A new body's one thing. A new schematics is a whole nother.
Let's pick some prize picks and then wrap this up and get out of here. Listen, just real quick, prize picks brought to you, or this pick six segment brought to you by Prize Picks. I don't even remember what it is. DFNS for $100 match, 100% match up to $100. It's the end of the year. You shouldn't be doing this.
My boy's selling the shit out that head right now.
Yeah, you should not be doing this at the end. Don't be betting on bowl games. You're a real degenerate, but I did make a lot of money on it.
Especially the Orange Bowl this year.
Oh, God, no.
What are you doing?
Lay the points. I did take I took – who just played here before this? See, like, I can't even remember, like, who's playing.
Virginia Tech and Tulane?
Yeah, I took Virginia Tech pretty big. Tulane scored first. Actually, they didn't score, but they got that fumble six. And the money became a lot more favorable, and I put a little Christmas gift, we'll say, on Virginia Tech at that point, because I did not think Tulane could move the ball, and they didn't the rest of the day. So, all right, Richie, pick six. What we got?
All right, so the prize picks is not updated. So this is the Barnes Sportsbook, and again, it's a bowl game with 20 plus opt outs. Who knows where we're at? But let's start with Brock Glenn. Third string true freshman quarterback making his second career start. He is 1-0 in trophy games, hat and t-shirt games, as we like to call them. This might be high. I don't know. 185.5 total yards. I think I'm going to go under here, or less here.
Yeah, less easily. Oh, Harlan's going more. Like, got Brooks?
I think George has only given up like 205 yards through the air per game this year, something like that. So heavy under. Heavy under.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Harlan's got the more, so he can be the one to step out on that. All right, Richie.
All right. So we'll start with Brooks here. Florida State rushing yards, 85.5 yards. Just these numbers are depressing when I read them out loud.
85.5 yards team total. I mean, they're going to hop in Wildcat for like 12 snaps, aren't they? And do they even have a running back? Aren't they down to like, aren't y'all going down to like RB4? Well,
we got Kozia Holmes, and we have two wide receivers listed on our depth chart at running back for this game.
Hell yeah. Under. under.
Yeah, I'll go. Yeah, I'll go more on this one, but I think I'm going to get screwed on sack yardage. So let's make a caveat of taking sack yardage out of this.
Well, that's not the college game works.
Yeah, I mean, it's the Barn sports book. We do what we want here. I'll say over, but like if Brock takes like six sacks, like of course we're not going to go over with it. So,
No one on the offensive line opted out, right?
No.
Just Bless Harris who transferred. Yeah.
Yeah, one guy hit the portal.
All right. I think I'll go less on the official line because it's going to include sack yardage and, you know, Brock, true freshman.
Harlan's got more.
All right. Here's the one that I'm going to take the over on this one. Destin Hill and Hakeem Williams, 6.5 receptions combined.
Yeah, I'll go less. I have no confidence.
How's Hakeem look this year? I haven't watched him.
He's been hurt, not banged up, but had an amazing tunnel screen that he took to the house.
It was fun against North Alabama.
I saw a photo of him. He looked like he was like 205 pounds. Is he gaining weight?
Yeah. He's reshaped his body from summer for sure.
I loved him coming out of high school. I thought he was going to be like one of the next ones. So I was curious. I don't even remember what the line was, but let's go over.
Oof. All right. Harlan's going over as well.
So this,
I mean, you said 6.5. I see at least three tunnel screen in the mix there. At least.
Yeah. I think something like that too, especially between Hill and Hakeem. This next one, TJ, I want you to first because you might have some info, maybe not, maybe we don't even know. But the two top linebackers from Florida State, Tatum Bethune, Kalen DeLoach, 12.5 tackles combined, but we don't know if they're playing.
Yeah, I've kind of been told the whole time that to not expect them to play. Now,
they've been practicing.
Yeah, could staff convince them to play? Because if they don't, I don't know who the hell you start at linebacker, like Omar Graham, Blake Nicholson, and you pull down Ashlyn Barker or something.
Cryer.
I don't know.
Yeah, so Cryer,
I think there's a chance the staff could beg and plead for them to play. But, I mean, the people I've been talking with have been pretty consistent on thinking that they don't play all, really for the last 2 weeks. So, I mean, if they play, I'll take the over on 12.5 for sure, because I don't think anybody else on the field is going to be able to tackle. But I don't think they play. So I'll go over, assuming they play. But, I mean, like Prize Picks, if they don't actually take a snap, then the bet is canceled. So long way to say over.
Brooks, what do you think? This is where we're at in Florida State land right now. We have no idea.
Hell, I don't know, Ricky. Are they in the portal? What's going on there?
They're going to the NFL. I just don't think they'll end up playing.
How many linebackers have like opt? I figure you can only opt out if you have like a guaranteed top 45 eval. If you don't have that, you have room to grow.
Not at FSU, brother.
Not this year.
You can opt out if you're
very weird. The opt-out was for the first rounder, the second rounder, the guaranteed third rounder. Sometimes I feel like we got undrafted free agents being like, psh, nah, I just don't want to practice 15 more times in college. That's weird.
Brooks, I saw a legit, like, well-done professional graphic for a player I'd never even heard of for Florida State announcing he's going to the transfer portal. He's not on scholarship, never heard of the dude.
Give me that.
And he had, an official graphic that he released.
I love it.
Harlan's got last. Where you at, Brooks?
What were we even talking about? I'm going to go under on the tackles, if that's where we're at.
Yeah.
I'll take more. I think they both like Mike. I think Rob's a big fan of Mike, and he's going to have Kalen play. The next one, 4.5 first half possessions for Florida State. I'll say less if it's not a bunch of three and outs, because I think
Mike wants to put that kind of caveat. I got more.
I'm saying less.
Yeah, I'll go more. We're going to be giving that ball to them a lot, and we're going to be getting it back pretty quickly as well. So I'll go more on this one. There are going to be a lot of three downs, man.
Yeah, I'll go as well.
All right, and the last one, 2.5 sacks for Florida State. This is the one position I actually have some hope for Florida State. Daryl Jackson, we'll see what he's all about. Braden Fisk, Patrick Payton, I'm not too high on Gilbert Emmett on the coming off the other edge. I think it's a backdoor cover here, right? Where Georgia has a comfortable lead at the end of the game. Maybe they start playing some backups. We don't talk about Amarius Mims on this show because, you know, what he did to us. But I think at Florida State, I'll say they get 3 sacks.
Yeah, I'll go less.
Hey, what happened with that thing? We got to go. Never mind. We'll talk about it on my show. I want to know y'all's perspective, what the hell happened with Amarius Mims, because I know what happened from ours. No, I don't. Carson Beck, he's not mobile. Like, he's not this, you know, elusive scrambler. But man, does he have a ticker on him. He knows when pressure is around him. He knows when to get the ball loose. And not only that, like, I know Amarius isn't probably going to, he's probably not going to play. I know he's not going to play, but outside of that, it's just nothing but future NFL football players anyway on the front line for them from Georgia. So I think 2.5 is a lot. That's a lot of, I don't think they've given up 2.5 sacks all year. I think Alabama got him twice. That's it.
Yeah, I'll go less here. I doubt Fisk plays.
But you almost swung me with backdoor cover.
Maybe the remember when Brett Favre took that sack at Michael Strahan's feet to like give him
the record? Yeah,
that's the only way we get 2.5 sacks. So, all right, Brooks, where can people find? Oh, Harlan took less on the last two as well. I don't know why. Or no, he took more and then less. So I don't know why we keep track of that. Nobody ever goes back and listens to it. But Brooks, where can people find your work? Where can they follow? Listen, we've gone 14 games now, and nobody went back and fact checked us once. So like, we just talk out of our butt on Prize Picks app. So Harlan says he's up by a lot. Brooks, where can people find your work? Where can they follow you? You got a show going tonight. We'll talk a little more on there, but give the people the info.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Twitter at BrooksAustinBA, and we do a bunch of college football talk like everybody else over on the Film Guy Network on YouTube. Some of your Florida State fans have merged over, so I look forward to having you on in about, what, an hour or about 50 minutes, TJ. So we'll be talking to you soon, brother.
All right. Thank you, man, for hanging out.
Score prediction real quick. We got to do it, TJ. Give me a score prediction, Brooks.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 38-3. I don't feel like, so I see somebody in the chat saying 52-10. Kirby Smart traditionally does not run scores up. I know the TCU game's a little bit of an outlier, but situations like this, he normally protects the guy on the other sideline. And man, Mike Norvell's been hit over the head with a sledgehammer the last 6 weeks. So I don't think he's gonna be doing any of that to Mike Norvell on the opposite sideline.
Harlan's got 35-7, pretty close. I'll say, listen, I need to move my record up to 14-0, so I will, but nobody keeps track of what the actual score is. So 24-21, Georgia.
Yeah, I've picked Florida State in all 13 games this year. Felt good about it. 31-6. I just don't know how he moved the ball.
31-6.
I just don't know how he moved the ball against
them. You spent the last 40 minutes talking about it's going to be massacre and it's just all 24-21.
Dude, I've been hearing we've been practicing kick return like crazy. We got some special stuff.
we've had the water guns out and everything.
Listen, I know you got to go. The Knowles 247 guys went out and put out like the returning production for passing yards, the returning production for rushing yards, the returning production for all your blocking plays, the returning production for sacks, tackles, interceptions, everything. And it's like low, 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 low. Returning production for kick return touchdowns, 100%. Our guy that scored the kick return, like, so Deuce Spann's playing. I feel good about our chances to score at least once or twice on that. So, all right, that's all I got.
We're going to get a lot of kickoff returns.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of opportunities, man. So we should be good. That's 8 Georgia field goals. We bow up in the red zone. Brooks, thank you for hanging out. Everybody, thank you for hanging out all year with us. We do these previews. We try to have a little more fun with tonight's because we all know what's coming on Saturday. So, make sure you hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Richie, was fun doing that this year. This one wasn't fun, but the rest of them have been. So, yeah. We'll talk to you guys soon. Go Noles.